Thank you so much for that beautiful music. Please stand as you are able for the gospel reading. It is from the Gospel of Mark, but it's not the one in the bulletin. It's from chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up and take your mat and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This ends the reading of the word. Thanks be to God.
I'm so very grateful for the opportunity, as I said, to be at our son's graduation last weekend. And I'm really grateful for Pastor Andy's sermon and for the sharing of some of Glenmar's history with folks who may not be aware of all of it. I'm most especially grateful that God led Eric and me and Nathan to Glenmar when he did. Lydia was just a twinkle in Eric's eye at the time. I consider it to be a wonder of God that that happened, and that we were there when we broke ground on this facility, and I got to stand up there with a shovel along with Pastor Andy. At the time, I was a lawyer with Legal Aid, and I was worship coordinator, as Andy mentioned, and I had really no idea that someday the pastoral baton would actually be passed from Pastor Andy to Pastor Matt to Pastor Rod to me. I had a feeling that I would be a pastor, but I had no idea and would have laughed a lot if you had suggested that I would be one of your pastors. I mentioned this to Andy before I left to go out of town, and he said, "Well, trust me, Mandy, neither did I." And I didn't know how to take that, really. I mean, I would have preferred it if he had said I'd known it all along. Truly, I'm tempted to say, as the folks did in this miracle, I've never seen anything like this. When I look at my own call, my own journey with God, and honestly, Glenmar, a lot of it's your fault. I tell people that if I have gifts as a pastor, God put them there and you helped me develop them. I wish it were true that if I have failings as a pastor, I could blame it on you. I'm a little tempted to do that. Like, you made me into a pastor and then you made the bishop, you know, send me here. So if you don't like it, I mean, you made me a pastor. I'm tempted to say I've never seen anything like this. The thing is, when you hang around Jesus for any length of time, before you know it, you are saying, "I've never seen anything like this." And when you hang around Glenmar for any length of time, you will say, "I have never seen anything like this every day of the week." Just this weekend, I went to about 80,000 Glenmar events. And every time I went to one, I said to myself, "I've never seen anything like this." Now, in week one of our series about reaching the goal, we talked about running the race of faith. We talked about how Jesus called the first disciples and how Jesus calls us to participate in the race together. How the strength of the runner is the team. The strength of the team is the runner. The strength of the church is the believer. The strength of the believer is the church. Last week, we looked at the faith of Abraham and the faith of Glenmar, that they heard God's call, that they stepped up, and God provided. This week, I want to talk about a little bit about what the race is like once you get going. What can happen after the starting gun goes off and as we're running the race together. And I want to talk about the hurdles that tend to appear in the race. Hurdles happen after you have got your momentum established. Right when you hit your stride, you know, and you're feeling so good about how you're going to finish, that's when the first hurdle appears. Here comes a hurdle. Even and sometimes especially when you are doing your best to follow Jesus, it seems like hurdles appear. They're part of what it means to live, and certainly part of what it means if we're going to follow Christ. Ask anyone that God ever asked to do anything. Think about poor Moses. God says, I've seen my people's affliction. I've heard their cry. I've come down. And by the way, I'm sending you. You're going to go to Pharaoh, and I'm going to harden his heart so he's not even going to listen to you. Moses gets the people into the wilderness. Before you know it, they want to go back to Egypt. Just ask Paul. Dealing with persecution and jail and churches who failed to pay attention to him and were great churches. And then he just left for 5 minutes just to go up to Pizzeria Uno just to get a soda. And they lost their minds and forgot everything he taught them. Hurdles all along the way. Abraham, going to a place where God would show him, trusting in God's promises, that if he stepped up and did what God was calling him to do, God would provide. Hurdles all along the way, people stepping up and God providing. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you know about hurdles, and maybe a bit about how to run them as well. So to illustrate some of my points, I wanted to use the story of the paralyzed man from Mark. It's also in Luke. This guy was facing several hurdles. He was facing a hurdle because of his need for healing and the additional hurdle of not being able to get to Jesus. He was blocked by the crowds and couldn't get into the house where Jesus was. These are quite big barriers, I would think. And if I were he, I'm pretty sure I would have quickly given up, left to my own devices. I would have said, I guess today is just not my day. I guess today's not a good day for miracles. Or Jesus has so many people here. Who am I among so many? There's nothing I could do about it. And I would have gone home. But this guy is not a solo runner. He's part of a pack. He's got four friends. And they start thinking about how to overcome these hurdles. They don't have a cure for his paralysis themselves, but they know how to get him to Jesus. When I think about this story, I think the paralyzed fellow, he could have been a youth. Because I look at how his friends behaved and I'm thinking, that sounds like a youth group solution to me. You know, resourceful, determined, creative, brave. Not too bound by the rules, but keeping the main thing the main thing. This is a youth team on a mission trip. Can't get in? I have an idea. A way, not over the hurdle the regular way, but down through the roof, digging with a shovel, sending dust into the living room, into Jesus' hair, I don't know, lowering their friend down, not so much over the hurdle as around it or through it. I've said before that Christianity is a team sport, and that it takes all of us to be able to run the race and win the prize as a team, as a church, as the body of Christ. And as we encounter hurdles along the way, it takes other people to help us see how to get over the obstacle. Sometimes it's enough to know that other people know about what we're facing. Sometimes that's enough. I have like a group chat with some clergy girlfriends, and they'll say, I just need to leave this here with you. And they'll talk about what they're facing. I just need you to hold this with me. Sometimes it's enough to know that people are holding it with you, that they're praying for you, that they're helping us carry it in that way. I was consulting Nathan, our son and my running expert, and he said at his college, there's this kid named Michael. He was trying to illustrate the team sport of running and the team sport of Christianity. He said, Michael is faster than I will ever be as a runner. But when we run together and Michael is at my hip encouraging me, I can run faster than I ever thought I could run. And I was like, well, Michael sounds awesome. And then he goes, that's not the end of the story, Mom. If I'm running with Michael, he can run further than he could have run without me. When we face hurdles, it takes a team to encourage one another in the race. Sometimes having a friend who will take up a corner of our mat and carry us when we can't carry ourselves is the way God works to get us over a hurdle in our life. Maybe some of your mat carriers have been your family or your friends. Maybe it's been a grief group or a small group or a weekly Bible study group. Maybe your best friend or your spouse. Maybe your spouse is your best friend if God has blessed you. Often what looks like an insurmountable mountain to one person can become very manageable when we get someone else's perspective on it. What looks impossible to me is quite possible with God. And often when I share what is impossible to me with one of you, you go, oh, is that it? So you need somebody to deliver flowers to shut-ins after the service. Well, I can do that. God calls people to come alongside so God can work through them, and what looks impossible is very possible. In my own life, as an illustration for how God tends to show up in the hurdle season, when I first started going to seminary, my extended family had a tragedy. My 14-year-old cousin passed away. And I had to fly home to Georgia for his funeral. And I was in shock. And it was the first time that we had had a death out of the natural order of things in my life. It was also the first time that I was ever going to a family function as somebody who was in seminary, which changes the game considerably. It was the first time they ever asked me to bless the food, much less to pray before the funeral. It was a collision of my personal love and loss and my new calling to ordained ministry. And I prayed on the plane, God, I wonder where I will see you. I wonder where you will show up in the midst of this tragedy, was my prayer. And the answer is, God showed up in the people who were there. The people who came to this terrible funeral, who didn't know what to say and came anyway, who just hugged and held each other. God showed up in a prayer shawl that was made by Glenmar folks. We were fairly new Glenmar members at the time, I mean in the large scheme of things. They heard about my cousin, and the Dancing Needles said, take this prayer shawl from us. God showed up in the ruddy faces of my cousin's friends who had their shirt tails hanging out, who stood by and kind of threw footballs after the service, you know. God showed up in the rising steam of casseroles and the bright, resilient colors of the fruit salad, you know, and in the way we all held hands in a circle, and in the way in the church, the pews were so crowded because my mom's family, she's one of five kids. You can't fit us into the... We were so together that it was like a flying buttress. We were so jammed in there, we couldn't move. But it was like being held up. My aunt and uncle, who lost their son, they are a nurse and a brain surgeon, respectively. And so they carry mats all the time. They are really good mat carriers. But that was a season where they had to be carried. They were carried. It doesn't make the hurdle go away, not really, but it helps us see that God is with us. It helps us find our way through the hurdle to be carried by Jesus in the form of one another. It keeps our eyes on Jesus and lets him carry us through, helping us see the way God breaks in and breaks through and shows up. I know in this story, it's the one in need of healing that breaks through the roof, but so often, it's Jesus that breaks through the roof, right? Like when you least expect it. Sometimes we're the ones holding the corner of someone else's mat. Other times we're the ones being carried. Both are part of what it means to follow Christ, to be the church, to run the race that is set before us together. When we are weak, we find God is strong. We find the Holy Spirit is at our hip as we run, encouraging us, reminding us, ordering our steps between the hurdles, saying, I've got you. You are not alone. I am with you. Hurdles in the race of faith are a given, but God gives us practices and gifts that will help us when we come to hurdles so that we have the rhythms of faith in place that will help us run a hurdle. Notice I didn't say jump over a hurdle. Hurdles are not like standing broad jumps. They're part of a race. In order to navigate a hurdle, you have to have momentum going in. You have to keep running to make it over. Momentum is everything. If you hesitate because you're afraid of hitting the hurdle, your momentum stops and you will fall. Hurdles in life are not to be feared. They're part of the race. And we are training as disciples, preparing for them. The practices of our faith do that. The inspiration of our ancestors does that for us. For example, if we develop the habit of faithful worship attendance, just one example, so that we do it every week, whether we feel like it, whether we have the clean shirt, whatever it is, if we just do it every week, then we will form a habit. It's practice. So that we will be in the room where it happens, thank you, Hamilton, when God breaks in. And it means if we already have the habit, we will not hesitate to come to church, even when we don't want to, even when we aren't sure what we believe about God because we're going through some kind of crisis. It's not a prerequisite. Church is something that you do. It is a habit. And then God shows up. It's a practice. And if we develop the habit, then we'll come to church when we don't want to, and that is exactly when we need to come the most, right? When we have a relationship with God that starts during the easy parts of our lives, if we have any of those, I think we maybe do, maybe a week and a half where it's fairly smooth sailing. If we have a relationship with God during that time, then we remember and we know God's history and how God works and where to go for help when we come to our hurdles. You know what those practices are. Regular Bible study, regular worship, regular communion, being part of a small group, the practice of service, using our gifts, intentional generosity with our finances and with our talents. It's really important when you're running hurdles to get the steps right. You can't go like step, 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 jump. You have to get the rhythm down. And the practices of the faith help us get the rhythm to run the hurdle. What are those practices? There's a ton of lists. I'm going to go with today prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, the commitments of membership. All these things form us into great hurdlers. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness, leap. Prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness, leap. It's a rhythm of faith. It's a rhythm of grace, ordering our steps so we can run together. Another aspect of what it takes to be a great hurdler is to be looking at the right thing. You know what happens if you're looking at the hurdle? You're going to hit it. You're going down. But if you want to conquer the hurdle, you got to look past it to the finish line. In a life of faith, when we focus too much on the obstacle, we're going to hit the obstacle. But if we focus on the mission that God is calling us to do, if we focus on Jesus and his promises to us, we'll be able to finish the race well. It's not the hurdle that matters, it's the finish line. It's ordering our steps so that we hear Jesus, our coach, say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." In our own faith journey, sometimes Eric and I have been tempted to stare at the hurdles. Mostly me, actually, if I'm being honest. How can we give to the church? Given our financial challenges, we thought when we were first married, we said, we're young, we don't have money for anything, how can we give? Eric, the more faithful one of our marriage, said, here's how it works, Mandy. It's all God's, and we give a percentage of what God has given to us back to God, and God provides. And we did that, and I learned it was not only possible, but it became easy. Like training for hurdles. If you made a hurdle for me, I could maybe jump over one that big. But if I did it for long enough, I could jump over one that big. Then we increased a percentage or two every year. This campaign, we have kids in college. That's our hurdle. But we know what God can do, so we know we can give, and we can even give a little more. You have all been great hurdlers since 1954, always keeping your eye on what God wants and what God is calling you to do, always stepping up, not looking at the hurdles, but looking at Jesus, not looking at the sacrifice, but at the prize to be won. If you were the kind of church that stared at the hurdles, you never, ever would have gotten where we are today. If you stared at the hurdles, you couldn't even have gotten that cross off the wall. Andy had that picture of like this gigantic cross and a couple pieces of dental floss, and there were like some hale and hearty fellows underneath. And if you had been looking at the hurdles, you wouldn't have even gotten that accomplished, much less brought it over here, much less build this building, much less continue to do more mission and ministry than any church ever, much less one with a mortgage. You never could have done that. You never could have done all the things that you just did on Saturday here at Glenmar Church. The pandemic would have meant paralysis for you. But as it is, I have never seen a group of people so committed to a mission that God has given before in my life. I've never seen anything like you, Glenmar. It is a joy to run the race together.